Our first reading all through this Lent has taken us through the various covenants, Noah, Abraham, Moses, now the covenant through Jeremiah, when he predicts the new covenant in Christ that will be written on people's hearts. It won't be an exterior law like the law of Moses that was written on tablets of stone, but it'll be written within our hearts. And it's the absolute conversion of humans into divine life is really what is being predicted there. And in Jesus, that happens. So that second reading from the letter to the Hebrews reminds us that Jesus, as God, was always Son. But he still learned obedience from what he suffered. What he learned was how to be Son in a human way. For all eternity, he had known how to be Son, the begotten one of the Father, in a divine way. But now, in time, he learns in a human way what it means to be Son. And he learns it through obedience and through suffering. And he tells us that the same is true for us. The only way we're going to learn to be a son or a daughter of the Father, in the truest sense of that term, is to lose ourselves. To lose that false self, that made-up self that we invent in our minds that doesn't really exist, but we think that that's all important. And it's this imaginary self that we put out in front of other people because we want to impress, we want people to see us in a particular way. And there's a kind of a stubbornness and a disobedience that blinds us from seeing ourselves for who we truly are, daughters and sons. What we truly are, our true self, is the one that is being fashioned constantly by God. Not the one that we're fashioning, but the one that God is fashioning. And the only way to get there is to lose that made-up self. To let go of that mountain of information that we get from the world about what's valuable, about what's worthy, about what is important. But to let go of all that and allow our worthiness to come from God. Our worth isn't something that we can earn. It isn't something that we can do. It's done for us by God. God gives us our worth, our self-image. And that is as true daughters and sons of our Heavenly Father. And that's the glory. Jesus says he's going to, the time has come for him to be glorified. And it's ironic, isn't it? His glory is the cross. He has to be lifted up. And to be lifted up is to be elevated in glory, to be made visibly important. And his visible importance is to hang on a cross in this horrific kind of death. Because he's showing us the pattern of divine life. The pattern of divine life is to not make myself self-important. The pattern of divine life is not to demand that I get the stature I deserve. You know, Jesus never acts like that. He's always humble. And he's always at the service of others. And he allows evil things to happen to him without retaliating. You know, this is the way divines act in a human body. And we have to learn that through a lifetime of prayer, through a lifetime of learning through life's difficulties, a lifetime of suffering. And suffering is just so much a part of it. In the same way that Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered, so do we. And some of it is involuntary suffering, the things that life just throws at us, the injustices, the happenstance that isn't fair, the things that should happen to no one and yet they happen to us. So there's all kinds of involuntary suffering. We don't have to go looking for it because it's just there. But then there's a voluntary suffering that builds strength in us. It builds compassion. It builds generosity. It builds daughterhood and sonship. And that's the voluntary suffering that we do in our fasting, penance, and almsgiving. That's what Lent is truly about. Lent is about our taking on our true identity as people who know how to suffer graciously, as people who know how to lose ourselves and to lay down our lives, to let go, to not be in control, but just trust in God. And finally, all of that builds hope. And hope is the hope of eternal glory that we can't see now. All the experiences we have in life, they can lead us one way or another. They can lead us into greater hope through long suffering and through our prayerful reflection upon our suffering, or it can destroy hope. And our world is filled with hopelessness. People who just don't think that that things are eventually going to work out in their favor, who see the world against them, who have a hard time finding that God could ever forgive them for their sins, who have a hard time believing that God could ever right the wrongs in this world, that God could fashion a kingdom where true justice would prevail, where true peace would eventually be experienced. You know, we live our lives in the hope of that reality that is definitely off in the future, some distance away. And yet, as we're reminded by Christ in the Gospels, there's a sense in which it's already here now. And it's here now in us because it's been written on our hearts. It comes from God. It's grace. And it empowers us to be sons and daughters, not just in some future glory, but even now.